Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It's the Lombardi Line on a Wednesday. This show, as always, presented by DraftKings alongside Michael Lombardi back in his rightful seat in Ocean City. Stormy Bonantoni here live from Circa Sportsbook in Las Vegas. Jam-packed 2 hours ahead. We got the NBA and NBA draft talk coming up.
Oh,
our
boy.
NFL betting guide is coming out tomorrow. So we'll hit on a great article that Michael is going to have in the guide about new head coaches in the NFL this year. Plus, it's Wednesday, which means at the end of the show today, we're talking long shots with bets that might just make you want to say, why not? But Michael, first and foremost, very happy to have you back. We've missed you the last 2 days.
I am happy to be back, and I am so excited to watch the Bronny draft tonight. I can't tell you. I'm so anxious. I've never seen a player of this magnitude in the draft. It's unbelievable. We need Vitale to come back and talk about it. It's incredible. I want to see where he gets drafted. Averages 4 points at USC last year. Never made all-conference in high school. But that's okay. Who cares? We got Bronny draft. I can't wait, Stormy.
Whatever you do, do not start a drinking game tonight with the name Bronny. Don't do it. I'm telling you now, it's not going to be safe for you.
It's so true. It's right. A self-production by the worldwide leader. We've created a star out of a kid that barely, he shouldn't even be in the draft. Nobody has the guts to say it. Of course, nobody has the guts to say, hey, LeBron, if you want to win a title, you might not want to take 160 from the Lakers. You know, you might want to just take a mid-level deal and maybe get two more players. Perhaps. I don't know. But nobody's going to say that. But winning's not important. But we got a while. Where's Bronny going to go? Buy your tickets to the G League. Buy your tickets to the G League because that's where he's going.
So bad. Tonight's draft, though, there is a lot of intrigue, and we'll talk about this more in a little bit here. But this is so different from what we saw last year from Victor Wembanyama, where we all knew clear-cut number one overall. This year, despite having an odds-on favorite in Rishashe, nobody really knows for sure what's going to happen. We will talk at length about the draft at the end of this hour when your good friend, former college basketball head coach and analyst Tom Crean is going to join the show. In hour two, also our good friend Adam Burke is going to stop by. But before we get to the draft, let's talk about the big blockbuster trade news that happened in the NBA last night, because the Villanova Knicks are adding another Wildcat in Mikal Bridges. What was your first thought when you saw that come through?
Where's Zaire Smith? That was my first thought. Where the hell did he go? You know, because that's who the 76ers traded for Mikal Bridges. They had Mikal Bridges and traded him for Zaire Smith. If you can find him, you're a good detective. We need Jim Rockford on that case. But look, I mean, the Knicks know who they want to be. They want to have those Villanova-style players that are all in. They're going to do what they need to do. And Bridges is really, to me, Bridges is the best of the bunch, without a doubt. I know Brunson's a great player, but Bridges is fabulous. It'll be interesting to see what they do with Hartenstein. I think that's a key component. They say he may not come back. You know, what do they do with Mitchell Robinson, who's got the bad knees? But clearly, I think we're in an arms race here to catch Boston. And it's really between the Pacers and the Knicks. The Sixers are out of this thing. I mean, they're just a pipe dream away. They're not going to get anybody. I think the Pacers are on the hunt to get somebody to go with Tyrese Halliburton, And, now the Knicks have made their move. Four number ones. People make it seem like it's the NFL. Those picks never work out anyway.
Well, so that's an interesting point. So I'll give you the layout of what exactly entailed this trade. The Knicks in the crosstown trade send four unprotected first-rounders, a 2025 protected first-round pick rerouted from the Bucks, a 2028 unprotected pick swap, and a 2025 second-round pick, as well as Bojan Bogdanovic. New York keeps their picks for today's draft while getting Bridges and a 2025 second-rounder. So that's interesting to you, though. A lot of people have said this price is steep. You don't think so because draft picks are kind of whatever in your opinion in the NBA?
Well, they are. They're putting their nucleus together. They're going to sign Bridges to an extension. They're going to have Brunson signed to an extension. They're going to go with these four players, DiVincenzo, Bridges, Hart, and Brunson. Those four are going to run it. Next thing you know, if I were Thibodeau, I'd be wondering where Jay Wright's coming from. I'd be looking around the corner. Is Jay Wright coming here too? But look, I think at the end of the day, the picks in the first round, we talk about it all the time. This is a draft where you might pick somebody at 16. Not that they'll pick very good at 16. The team that picks 16 will blow it. I know that. But the reality of it is, is you might not get a good player. You might, you know, you might not. Brunson's a second-round pick. Hart was a second-round pick. DiVincenzo, I think, is the highest pick of the group, except for Bridges, who got traded for Zaire Smith.
Because, Michael, you mentioned the chasing the Boston Celtics here, I wanted to get to the odds movement quickly. The Knicks moved from 13-1 to 10-1 for an NBA title. They're tied for fifth with the Timberwolves and Bucks on the odds board. They're third at 5-1 to win the Eastern Conference. So again, like everything they're doing to try to close the gap with Boston here. But what I think is probably most important quality wise, in addition to like the two-way versatility that a guy like Mikal Bridges brings, is the fact that he's durable. This is a team that this past postseason, right? Like, you wonder what could be, what if they weren't just decimated by injuries. But this is a player who has played every game of his NBA career, 474 straight regular season games, 39 in the playoffs, one of four players with 1,500 points, 150 threes, and 75 steals in each of the last two seasons. Like, the durability paired with the skill set, I think, is what makes this a really good pickup.
Yeah, it really does. What I'm shocked when I look at this odds boards, how are the Pacers 22-1? I mean, how are they just 22-1? They're going to get another player. They're going to be better next year, you know, and I think they'll be. Look, if you said who played the Celtics the best, you'd have to say the Pacers. They had a chance to, they blew two wins. I mean, they had wins right in the palm of their hand. The Mavericks won one game. It was kind of like an afterthought, right? And so other than that, the Celtics dominated them. I think the Pacers are at 22-1 or seem to be really too – right now, if they make a signing or a trade that apparently a lot of people think they're going to go after somebody, whether – it's not going to happen tonight on draft night because these picks typically take time to work out. But it could work out in free agency, and if they do that – you're not getting that 22-1 is not going to stick around very long.
Absolutely agree with you. Let's hit you with those Eastern Conference odds at the top. The Celtics plus 130 to repeat in the East, followed by the Milwaukee Bucks at plus 475. The Knicks 5-1, 76ers plus 650, Miami 17-1, and the Cleveland Cavaliers 20-1 prior to the Pacers there. Also, another thing about this Nets trade, interesting to see them help the Knicks out. The first trade between these two franchises since June of 1983. We'll see if ultimately this move does help New York get over the hump and do something that they haven't accomplished since the 70s and win an NBA title. Now, after the Mikal Bridges trade, the Nets were not done last night. They also put together a deal with the Houston Rockets to return the Nets 2026 first-round pick for a 2027 Suns first-round pick. Houston could also swap its 2025 first-rounder with Phoenix's, and this draft capital exchange trying to, at least according to reports, tempt the Suns into a trade with Kevin Durant. What's your thoughts on the Suns' precarious situation here with the Rockets?
Well, you got to believe that somebody, Kevin Durant, has talked to somebody in Houston to say he would do it. Because why would you make these moves if you didn't think you were going to have a chance? I mean, collecting assets is great. It doesn't work out if you don't hit with the assets. But, you know, I think the Suns obviously have proven that the big three leaves them with no teams. Now, I don't believe Coach Bud agreed to go to the team without coaching the big three. I think they do want to give that a run. But if it doesn't go well, maybe in the middle of the season or by Christmas, they decide to make the move with Durant. But to me, why would you, if you're Brooklyn, do this to Houston, would want to do this now if it wasn't something where you wanted to set up your arsenal to go after somebody somewhere?
Well, and that's what I'm thinking of, like, not even midseason. It looks like based on the Rockets trying to do this now, like, they don't want to wait. They want Kevin Durant now. From the Suns' side of things, though, like, do you think that it's worthwhile to try to keep that group together? Or since things haven't panned out now, putting that three together with Bradley Beal and Devin Booker is not going to happen?
I don't think it's going to happen. I don't care if they hired Coach Bud or not. Look, the Nets have gotten all these picks. How many picks do the Nets have now?
A million. What is
you
it?
Know, they've got 16 first-round picks to 2020 to 31. But the reality of it is they've already proven a big three doesn't work. How many more times do you have to learn from these teams that a big three is not going to work? It worked earlier, but I don't see it working. And if you can get value for Durant now, why wouldn't you take it? I mean, to me, the only one who you don't want to trade is Booker. They can't trade Beal. Let's be clear. Nobody wants Beal's contract. Durant's the only one they can trade because he has value. Booker's an untouchable. Everybody would want Booker, but you trade Booker, you're giving up your team. Booker's the best player of the three.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate. Like, I know we talk so much about team building, and it feels like every time we try to create these super teams and this big three, it just never seems to pan out the way that these teams expect it to. Before we close out the segment, I do want to give you some odds on the draft coming up tonight from New York City, beginning at 8 Eastern on ESPN and ABC. Zachary Richaché up to minus 400 right now to be the number one overall pick. Atlanta in that spot. Alex Saar minus 650 to go two. So a pair of international players favored to be the first two off the board here. Kentucky's Reed Sheppard minus 190 to be the first college player projected to get picked. Houston there in that three spot. Stephon Castle from the national champion UConn Huskies, minus 115 at four. The Spurs, by the way, have two of the top eight picks in this year's draft. And it is really interesting, like I said off the top, listening to all these NBA and draft experts who feel like they're flying pretty blind into this draft, Michael. Nobody fully knows what's going to happen.
I asked somebody in the league, and I was told Rashard was going to be the number one pick, but they weren't sure. And this is a team picking in the top five. So who knows where this is going to go? They're all flying blind. And, you know, the only guarantee is whoever gets picked at 16 will not end up having a good career. That's the one thing I've learned from being involved with draft day through my career.
For anyone who's new here,
16th pick is will be a disaster.
For anyone who's new here, Michael is just, he loves the 76ers so much. All he does is root for their success. That's what it is. Also good to note with the draft, UConn's Donovan Klingon, not a favorite in any spot in the top five, but minus 250 to be a top five pick. Where does he land? We'll be right back. Step into my office coming up next.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
VSiN's NFL betting guide comes out tomorrow, so there's never been a better time to be a VSiN Pro subscriber. Our all-new NFL betting guide is your secret weapon for the upcoming season. With in-depth profiles of every team, advanced stats, proven betting systems, and betting trends, you'll have all the tools you need to bet smarter this season. Plus, our experts are sharing their top bets on season win totals, futures, and props, giving you the insights you need to get ahead of the season. To get the guide, you must be a VSiN Pro subscriber, though. But if you use our promo code Lombardi, we've got a steal of a deal. Usually the VSiN Pro subscription, $240 a year. You can get it now for $199 when you use that promo code. Plus, we're throwing in an extra month for free. That's 13 months of VSiN Pro access to everything we do, including our daily best bets, 24/7 video, premium analysis, exclusive betting splits data, and all our special edition betting guides to keep you betting smarter all year long. Don't miss out on our all-new NFL betting guide. Again, it comes out tomorrow. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe. Use the promo code Lombardi. That gets you 13 months of VSiN Pro. Time for a little step into my office action. Usually I'm used to just hearing the door creak open, but apparently our open isn't cooperating the way that it normally does. Technology has got us again, but it is time to step into Michael Lombardi's office. And we've got a few people with critical appointments, Michael. Guys that need a talking to, some that just need some sage advice.
Do you have my granddaughter on this list? Little granddaughter on this list. Well, we're trying to potty train, and it's not going well. So they might send her into my office here for a while. She's smarter than everybody, and she can't quite figure it out. So
that's amazing.
I thought she might be on the list today, because there's no way I'm having confrontation with her. I give in to her, so there's no sense in sending her in. I'll do whatever she tells me.
Head into the office. Grandpa's the only one that can solve this problem. We'll leave her out of it for now, but appointment number one on the schedule today is going to be J.J. Redick, who, as you know, introduces the Lakers head coach earlier this week, and he had a couple interesting statements at his introductory press conference. So before I get your reaction and your guidance for JJ, let's hear what he had to say.
What misconceptions or concerns about you that you've heard in the last few weeks are you the most like looking forward to dispelling when you're the coach?
It's a valid question. However, I don't really have a great answer for your question, because I really don't give a f-. Like, honestly, I want to coach the Lakers. I want to coach the team. I don't want to dispel anything. I don't. I want to become a great coach in the NBA. and I want to win championships, and I want my players to maximize their careers. That's all I care about.
So obviously, Michael, this is the moment that went viral, but what was your reaction to the press conference overall? And when you're talking to JJ in the office, what's most important for him to succeed during his tenure in LA?
I don't think you need to tell anybody what you want to become. You just become it, right? Great coaches don't say they're going to be great. Great coaches become great. And I think you should know that. When Mike Krzyzewski was at Duke, your alma mater, there was a moment where he was on the hot seat. The noise from the outside was so loud to get him fired, but he withstood it because Tom Butters, his athletic director, stood behind him and supported him, which is what you're going to need. Look, you're walking into a very delicate situation. You have to win a championship or you're going to be a failure, because the prior two coaches have gotten the teams to the playoffs, right? I mean, Frank Vogel won in the COVID year. He won a title and he's on the street. Of course, he's collecting a lot of money from both franchises, but he's still on the street. The reality of it is you've got to grow within the role, and you can't start telling the question. It's a great question, but you don't give an F about it. Like, it's seriously, you can't have it both ways. So for me, is like, why don't you just focus on being the best you can? Why don't you start being humble? That's really important. To be a great coach, you got to be humble. And if you're humble, you'll be able to connect with the players, because everybody's going to see your reaction to LeBron. Because LeBron's coming back at a max salary, and everybody's going to watch how you coach LeBron, and that's going to determine how you coach the rest of the team. That should be the question you need to address, not the noise on the outside. Is how are you going to handle your best player or your highest paid player when he doesn't play well? And then the rest of the team sees what you do with him, and then they say, well, you've lost all respect for us. That's the fundamental issue you've got to deal with. And as a young coach, you're going to have to rally. Pat Riley got that right away. It didn't bother Pat. That's the role model you should be. And I would have said that at the press conference. Look, I'm going to look at Pat Riley. I've seen a lot of successful people that have gone from the playing chair to the coaching chair. I'm going to try to emulate them as best I can in my own style, not drop the F-bomb.
The Lakers give Redick a 4-year deal. No Lakers head coach has had the job more than 3 years since Phil Jackson left in 2011. The Lake Show, 15-1, sixth on the board in what is a loaded Western Conference. Let's go to hockey here, Michael, because as you were saying to me before the show started, you were all in on Game 7. Oilers star Connor McDavid is in the office next, fresh off falling in Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final against the Florida Panthers, despite a postseason for the ages where McDavid rewrote the record books in a handful of categories. He was named just the second skater from a losing team to win the Conn Smythe for postseason MVP. McDavid was a virtual no-show, though, in those final two games of the series. He had 2 shots and 0 points in Game 6 and 7. For a player known to be the best in the world, Michael, what advice would you give him to move forward after those underwhelming performances in the most decisive games of the year?
Well, I wouldn't take it personally, right? I think, Connor, I think you have to understand what the trophy or the cup represents. You know, you have to go back in time, back to the Russell House in Ottawa, Ontario, where they decided, Lord Stanley decided to give out the Stanley Cup to the best team in what they called the Dominion Hockey Cup Challenge. That's how the cup became in place. But what the cup represents is something bigger than just a win. It represents sharing. That's why whoever wins the cup, whatever team wins the cup, only gets to keep it for 100 days. And that's why when the cup goes back to its place at the NHL offices, you have to wear a white glove to handle it. It's a precious commodity. And understanding it's about sharing. It's about everybody plays a part in it. It's really about what the coach said after the game, what Paul Maurice said after the game when he said, I don't feel like I won the cup. I feel like I've got a piece of it. And your piece of the way you played in the finals was good enough. Now, we got to get everybody else to take it. So what you have to do is raise your level as much as you can. Next year, you've got to work harder. Next year, you've got to put in more time. Everybody knows you're a great player, but they're going to feed off of you. And that sharing is going to be represented by the cup, because that's what the cup represents. It represents everybody gets to drink champagne from the bowl. Everybody gets to hold it. And it's about the team effort. And I think your team effort is going to be predicated on how hard you want to finish the job.
By the way, if you haven't seen them, get on Twitter and look at all the videos of the Florida Panthers celebration, because Connor, if you want some of that, that's exactly what you need to do. This Panthers team, by the way, lost in the Stanley Cup final a year ago right here in Las Vegas in Game 5, and they clawed all the way back this season to ultimately win the hardest trophy in sports to win. Now, Edmonton, can you do the same after suffering this heartbreak? Now, before our next guest steps into the office, Michael, I do want to preface this by saying I understand coaches getting a little bit defensive with media sometimes when they ask poor questions or don't have tact in certain moments. But what we witnessed in college baseball this week, I think might be a little too much here. Here's Texas A&M's coach, Jim Schnachnagel, after falling in the College World Series to Tennessee.
I think it's pretty selfish of you to ask me that question, to be honest with you. But I left my family to be the coach at Texas A&M. I took the job at Texas A&M to never take another job again. And that hasn't changed in my mind. That's unfair to talk about something like that. That'd be like you asking Montgomery if he's going to sign in the draft. But I understand you got to ask the question. But I gave up a big part of my life to come take this job, and I've poured every ounce of my soul in this job, and I've given this job every single ounce I can possibly give it. So write that.
So forgive me, I thought that we had the question in there, but it was a very well-put question, at least, asked about the rumors of the new opening in Texas. Yeah. And what happens less than 24 hours, Michael? He's the new head coach at Texas. How should he have handled this?
Well, I mean, I think he was expecting the University of Texas A&M to come back at him and make him he was the highest paid coach in the conference. I think he expected somebody to say thank you. I think he was expecting someone to say, hey, you know, we're going to extend your deal. Instead, basically, A&M really didn't make any effort. Trev Alberts, the new athletic director, whose buyout was the richest buyout of any athletic director in college football, who makes the most of any athletic director in college football, his job when he came in A&M is to clean up the Jimbo Fisher mess. And really, this him leaving to go to Texas isn't a surprise to anybody, because the Texas athletic director and he are best friends. He hired him at TCU. So really, we know Trev Alberts should have expected this, but they've made no move to prevent the coach from going. Now, he's taking all the heat now, and rightly so. He could have answered the question better, but A&M could have behaved much better. But A&M's in a cost-cutting mode. They don't want to tell anybody. They're going to hire their third base coach to be the head coach, right? This is all the effect of Jimbo, because they got to get their house in order.
Michael, what I just struggle with in moments like this is that with all of the media that you know you're expected to do as a head coach, you know that this question is going to come. Your PR person tells you this question is going to come.
Sure you do.
There's a way you answer it. That's just not the way you answer it so adamantly.
You don't go to the Robert Sala School of Answering. Don't go to the Robert Sala School of Answering.
You said it perfectly. We'll be right back.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
If you're watching and listening to VSiN, don't forget about all the great betting tools and content at VSiN.com. Best bets from hosts and guests, betting splits, pro tips, trends, and of course, betting news. Today on the homepage, our resident NBA expert Jonathan Von Tobel has his NBA mock draft 2.0 with all his thoughts on who goes number one overall, best bets, and player position numbers. Plus, even as we enter the dog days of summer, you can find daily betting previews for games in MLB, the WNBA, and more. If you haven't hit up VSiN.com yet, you're missing out. It's your one-stop shop for all things sports betting. Speaking of the NBA draft, by the way, round one begins tonight, and we're going to have in about 15 minutes.
The Bronny draft
is upon us.
Bronny draft. Yes, where is he going to go? I'm on pins and needles, Stormy. Just tell me, where is he going to go, please? What do you think the over-under is in the first 5 minutes of the show when we talk about Bronny? We're going to talk about it. We got to know where he's going to go. Somebody draft him early, please. I can't believe you told me this, that people are dumb enough to bet that he could be the first pick overall. But this is what's wrong with our media coverage, that actually the worldwide leaders pushed him so hard that people actually think he's going to go first in the draft. It's insane.
Michael, you'll be pleased
to know.
It drives
me nuts. I
wonder if anybody's placing that 30-1 for him to go to the Philadelphia 76ers. That would make you just the happiest man on the planet, wouldn't it?
Oh, that would be so perfect for them to do it. It'd be so perfect for them. It would be the final straw It would be the final straw. If my buddy gets one of, if whenever my friends get a head coaching job in the Knicks, I'm officially resigning. I'll sign a document. I'm done. It's over.
Well,
I didn't mean to start the segment, but I'm so worried about Bronny. I don't know what to do. Where's he going to go,
well,
Stormy?
We'll be sure that we ask that obligatory question to Tom Crean when he joins us coming up in about 15 minutes as well. And we'll get that over under number in the mentions that we're going to get in the first 5 minutes. We have to do
nice.
It.
He's too nice.
For now, though, let's stick with the NFL. A reminder, if you are a VSiN Pro subscriber, when you wake up tomorrow morning, you're going to have our NFL betting guide in your inbox. So head over there, use that promo code Lombardi so that you can get the guide and everything that we have to offer here at VSiN. But in the guide, all of our hosts and NFL experts are giving best bets, picks. And Michael, you specifically have a great, like, lengthy article that you have gone into talking about all of the new head coaches in the NFL this year. First off here, as we get into this, we're going to do a gridiron Goldilocks for the first-time head coaches. But any of these new head coaches, which one of them do you feel is the most poised for success in year one?
Well, the way I measured it, Stormy, was I thought, okay, what does the team need and what does the head coach that they hired provide? Do those two things match? For example, the Chargers. They lacked toughness last year, physical and mental toughness. They couldn't win close games. They mismanaged the game, right? They mismanaged game situations. So what did they do? They hired a guy by the name of Jim Harbaugh, who's very competitive, who's extremely tough, who works extremely hard, who can manage the game effectively, because at the end of the day, all he's ever known was to be a head coach, right? That's all he's ever been in his life as a head coach. So I think it's the perfect marriage. So when their win total's a little lower, you say, wait a minute, that's not going to work. The other team I thought of is Seattle. Seattle has been horrendous defensively over the last 2 years. They have not been very good at home, 20-13 at home, so that's been an issue. And because of their defense, they have lost their home field advantage. I think Mike McDonald answers that question. So that's what the articles are going to talk about. Does this fit? Does it not fit? And it's broken down to seven coaches. Three are coming back for a second stint. Although Harbaugh didn't get fired, he left to go to Michigan, whereas Dan Quinn and Raheem Morris both did.
It's awesome. I got a sneak peek of the article this morning, and it's really, really great work, as it always is, by you, Michael. But now let's, as we transition into the Gridiron Goldilocks part of this, we are going to talk about first-time head coaches. Since you mentioned Mike McDonald off the hop, let's go to Seattle first. When you look at this season win total sitting at 7.5, based on what you're talking about and the upgrade that he could potentially bring on defense, is this 7.5 win total too high, too low, or just right?
I think it's too low. I mean, look, last year they won 9 games, and they had the worst run defense in all of football. Again, they lose to Pittsburgh in week 17 of the season in a must-win game, where Pittsburgh, with Mason Rudolph at quarterback, runs for 200 yards and throws for another 230 yards and scores over 30 points, the first they did all season. So that was a big issue, and I think ultimately what was Pete's downfall, when you look at it, was when he hired Clint Hurt to be his defensive coordinator, it didn't improve the defense for 2 years. You know, he kept having Ken Norton and then Clint Hurt, and I think he was kind of running it, but it killed the defense, and that's why they're 20-13 at home. McDonald will address that issue. He'll get him to play better. Look, he's taken two guys off the street in Javion Clowney and Kyle Van Noy. Both guys were unemployed last August. Van Noy was on the Pat McAfee show with me one segment. I saw them. Next thing I know, they both have 18.5 sacks, and I'm still off the show. So it's like, what's going on here?
That's so good. You also wrote in the article, Mike McDonald, 22-1, might be worth a pizza money play for coach of the year. The favorite in that market, by the way, Matt Eberflus at 9-1, as well as Jim Harbaugh, both at that same number. Similar situation going from an older, established, long-tenured head coach to a young coach in New England. For the first time in more than 24 years, Bill Belichick is not in the building. I know his tenure ended with back-to-back seasons, not in the playoffs. It was 4 wins a year ago. Still really hard to be the guy after the guy. That season win total sitting at 4.5. Some questions at the quarterback position as well. When you look at that number, too high, too low, or just right?
I think it's just right. I really do. I think it's perfectly set. And here's why. I think for them to win more than 4.5, you're counting on their defense to be really good, right? You're counting on that defense. They played 8 games last year where they held their opponent to 21 points or under. They won 2 of them. Are they going to be that good on defense next year? Because the mastermind of the defense, the guy who was running the defense as he was running everything, left. Now, you're saying DeMarcus Covington's going to be able to fill in for Belichick and not need Belichick by his side to help him. I'm not buying that. Mayo's not going to help him. Mayo didn't coordinate the defense. Mayo's in charge of team morale and making sure everybody's happy. He's not in charge of any specific area. He's there to offset the Belichick era, which is everybody's going to be positive, everything's going to be great, because it was too negative around here before. So what you're saying is, if you bet that 4.5 over total, is forget the rookie quarterback. You're saying that Covington's going to do as good a job as they did last year on defense. I'm not willing to go there.
Okay.
Which leads me to want to bet the under at 4.5, which is 4. Because I think offensively, you know, you got Brissett. You got a really bad offensive line that doesn't have any answers right now as we look at it in terms of the tackle position. So the tackle position, the skill position is a concern. And then, of course, the quarterback.
If you do think 4 is the limit, you're getting plus money on the under that 4.5 win total at plus 135 in Gerard Mayo's first year. The Carolina Panthers were the worst team in football a year ago with just 2 wins. Of course, they were not rewarded with that number one overall pick as it was traded to the Chicago Bears because they got their number one pick a season ago in Bryce Young, who finished his rookie season with 11 touchdowns, 10 picks, was sacked 62 times in 16 starts. Dave Canales steps in for Frank Reich. This win total has been bet up from 4.5 to 5.5, where it currently sits. Too high, too low, or just right for Canales?
I think it's a tad too high. I think 5 would be a great year for them. Although, look, let's be clear here. Any improvement, anything they do is going to be an improvement over Frank Wright. I don't know if Frank Wright officially announced his retirement before he signed his Panther contract or the day after, because they were poorly coached last year from the beginning of the year that I said it. I wasn't second guessing. I was first guessing on them last year. They looked disorganized, out of sorts. Now, I think Canales will do a better job. How much better, that I don't know. And I think at least now everybody's aligned to Canales in terms of headed in the right direction. Plus, you know, let's be clear. If you're going to bet the over total here, you're counting on New Orleans, Atlanta, and Tampa Bay not being great teams. And I think that's right. I don't think any of them are great teams. I think they all have weaknesses within them, and Carolina has them too. Remember, Carolina beat Houston in a game in Carolina when Houston wasn't what we think they are today, but they were healthy and C.J. Stroud played for them.
Let's hit you with one more before we close it out. Mike Vrabel out, Brian Callahan, former Bengals OC, in as the head coach for the Tennessee Titans. Their win total 6.5. Too high, too low, or just right?
I think it's just right. I'm not ready to buy. I think one of the things that I have not done a good job of this offseason is really give Mike Vrabel his due as a coach. And I think Brian walks into a really tough spot. They hired Brian to fill in to basically make Will Levis a great player. And I just don't see that. I'm going to be honest. I don't see Will Levis turning the corner. And I could be proven wrong, but I think he's too inconsistent. I think it's going to be a hard job. I think to get over 7 wins is going to be really hard for them.
I'll also throw in for the difficulty for Will Levis between college and the NFL. He's learning his 4th offense in 4 years as well. Not exactly an easy thing mentally to stand up from. Okay, from Brian to Bronny. We're talking NBA draft coming up next with Tom Crean, but
I promise, we're keeping the
Bronny conversation to a minimum, okay? Bronny. We'll be right back.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Get excited. We're less than 24 hours away from our all-new VSiN NFL betting guide dropping tomorrow. It's jam-packed with everything you need to know to dominate this NFL season. We've got in-depth profiles of every team, advanced stats, proven betting systems, and proprietary betting trends that you won't find anywhere else. And that's not all. Our experts, of course, have weighed in with their best bets on season win totals, futures, and props. So whether you're a season better or you're just getting started, this guide is your ticket to smarter, more informed bets. And to celebrate the release of the guide, VSiN's going all out with special coverage throughout the day. Tune in all day tomorrow for expert analysis, insider tips, and all the NFL insight you need to start the season strong. Remember, the only way to get our all-new NFL betting guide is to sign up by being a VSiN Pro subscriber. You can do so by heading to vsin.com/subscribe and use that promo code Lombardi. We are back here on the Lombardi Line alongside former NFL executive Michael Lombardi, Stormy Bonantoni with you. And while Michael, I know we are typically all NFL all the time, your second favorite sport is the NBA, and we've got the draft coming up tonight. First round of the two-day draft beginning in New York City, and it's been really interesting to listen to all of these different NBA experts and draft experts who feel like they're flying a little blind coming into tonight, not knowing what's going to take place at the top. So fingers crossed, our analyst and former longtime college basketball coach Tom Crean, who joins us here on the Lombardi Line, can help us make some sense of the chaos. And Coach Crean, I understand you're on your way to the draft right now. Is that right?
I am. I just got in a car and on my way to the Barclays Center. And we have our first show on NBA radio on Sirius XM at 4 o'clock today. And then interviews during the draft and things like that. So full day, long night, but a lot of excitement.
Coach, Atlanta, it seems like they don't, all reports indicate they're down to two or three players. Is there a clear cut in your mind from your evaluation? Forget about team needs. Is there a clear cut guy that 2 years from now we're going to talk about as, boy, this guy was really the star of the draft?
I think there's a couple that could move into that aren't foreseen yet. And a lot of that's going to be on fit, development, and, you know, how quick they get a chance to play. But I think the guy that is clear cut number one, that is got an amazing level of upside based on the improvement that he's made since last summer in the FIBA under 19s to what he did over in France this year, is Zakari Rezace. I think he's 6'9". He's a really hard comparison. You know, some people want to call him like Gallinari, and I don't know about any of that. I think this guy has got real athleticism. He can shoot the ball. He's really good in the open floor. He is dangerous when he goes to the basket because he wants to punch it on you with one hand, with two hands. And the jump that he's made, not only athletically, but using his athleticism and then refining his shot, has really been excellent. I mean, he's the kind of guy, like, whoever gets him, if they don't have him rebounding the ball, it's going to be a mistake on their part. He's a very natural rebounder. What happens a lot of times in the NBA is teams can really believe in offensive rebounding with their wings, or they can really believe in getting back. This is a guy you want getting to the glass. The other thing he's got, Stormy and Mike, is he's got his release at 19 is as quick. Just imagine Klay Thompson and his release and how quick he gets it off. I'm not saying he shoots it like Klay Thompson, but he gets the release like that. That's really rare for a guy at 19 to be able to shoot it that quick and with that accuracy. And I think he's got really good flow. And whether it's Atlanta or whether somebody trades up to get that pick, I think he's the best guy.
And Rezace is a growing favorite to be that number one overall selection. I wanted to ask you about UConn's Donovan Clingan. He's not the favorite in any spot to go top five, but he is favored to be a top five pick. Where ultimately do you think that he could land and make the most sense?
Well, I don't know if he could go one, though. I got to believe he's in that mix in Atlanta. I bet I don't know if it would take him over Zakari. I wouldn't have been shocked if Washington took him. But at the end of the day, it seems like they're pretty set on Alex Saar. And I think they believe in him and have a plan for him and how they're going to improve his shooting. And they see a guy that could be, I've even had people describe him as a Lauri Markkanen to me, you know, in fit. And I don't see that yet. I see a guy that's got to get a lot better shooting the ball. He kind of shoots the ball in two parts right now because he doesn't get enough foot strike and really get his lower body into his shot, so he ends up compensating for it some in his upper body. But he's quick, he's active, he's agile, he can block shots, and he can really run. Now Clingan can do a lot of things at 7'2" with a +5 wingspan. We interviewed him yesterday at NBA radio. I couldn't believe how wide his shoulders were, so he's going to be able to carry good weight. His mobility has increased. His minutes went from 13 the first year to 22 the second year. So there's some stamina issues that he's going to have to work through early on. But this is a guy that in all the years of UConn basketball, he's the all-time field goal percentage leader at 64%. I mean, he makes shots. What I love about him defensively is he blocks shots with both hands. Somebody gave me a comparison to Walker Kessler. Walker Kessler basically blocks shots with his left hand. Donovan Clingan, which is an incredible trait. You just think about it, Mike, in the form of catch radius. Like, he can do things with both hands and darn near equally well when it comes to his defending of the shot. And the bigger you are, the more important that is. I mean, that's what made Jimmy Butler, Paul George, Kawhi Leonard so good defensively early, is they could defend with both hands. It sounds like that's easy. Well, it's a lot harder. It's a lot easier said than done. And I think that's something Clingan brings. He's tough. He's physical. He's got a meanness and a competitiveness. And I think he's going to go high, and I think he's going to be a really good player. I don't think he's going to be maybe a star right away, but I think he's going to be a really good player and have a chance to impact the team basically from day one.
Coach, when I was TV scouting, because that's all I do in the NBA is TV scout, the college basketball, I just thought Reed Sheppard was going to be great. And I know he's undersized in terms of that, but I've never seen a guy with like you mentioned, a quick release, and his eye-hand coordination to me was remarkable. Is he going to be – do you think he'll go top five for sure?
I do. Yeah, I do. And I think there could actually be movement with him. I just wouldn't be shocked if there's movement near the top of the board. I wouldn't say with the Wizards, but I mean, I would watch it. I mean, Zakari Rezace is a prospect, and the Hawks are not the only ones that like him. And I'd keep an eye on that. But I think Reed Sheppard figures into that, because I know Atlanta, I mean, at least I shouldn't say I know. I've heard Atlanta likes Reed Sheppard. I don't think they like him at one, but I think they like him. And obviously Houston's been mocked to be with him. He fits San Antonio. He's got an incredibly great shot. And what he didn't have in high school, and what he didn't have really to the end of the maybe last third of the season with John at Kentucky, was ball screen work. And I think they've spent a ton of time with him in the spring trying to get him better with the ball screen, because that's going to be key. And if he can turn out to be, you know, he's got such quickness, he can score buckets in a hurry. If he's forced to play the point guard too early in the NBA, just like Steph Castle, I don't think that's a good thing. Those two guys got to grow into being at that position. But Reed Sheppard can make shots. He's got unreal foot quickness, hand speed, eye hand, like you said, quick twitch. But one of the things that gets him in trouble, Mike and Stormy, is he's got extremely quick feet, but he really doesn't play with any stretch of his feet. He's got to get way better extending his feet, guarding the ball, get way better extending his feet, attacking off the dribble and attack it in the pick and roll. But those are all things that he can get because he's so quick. And I think he's going to be a good player. But the more veterans that are around him where he's not pressured and forced to have to make a lot of decisions in an NBA game right off the bat, and where he can get free in the game and score, I think he's going to be fine.
Tom Crane joining us on the Progressive Guest Line. Last thing for you here. How underrated might Dalton Knecht be in this draft, and how overrated is the one and only Bronny James?
Dalton Knecht is underrated in the sense that he could walk into a lot of different teams. The only team in the top, well, from 4 to 10 that I don't think he worked out with is in Detroit. So I think obviously people feel that way, but I wouldn't call him underrated. I mean, he's still a guy that he can make shots. I think there's more room for him to get better athletically. I think he did get better athletically. The thing he made that is really underrated, Stormy, is that he made the jump from low major to as high a major as there is, and he flourished like player of the year. Like, that is unheard of, to make a jump like that, especially as easy as he did, and especially after he started his career in junior college. With the Bronny James, I've said this all along from studying it, you almost got to evaluate him based on high school. Last year he had the cardiac arrest at the end of July. He didn't play a real game till December 10th. He didn't have a full practice till December 7th. And I don't think they did a very good job of making him fundamentally better there. I really don't. He's got a long way to go fundamentally. He did some really good things in high school. The kid has always played to win, going back to the high school seasons, going back to the EYBL, you know, the Peach Jam type situations. He just got to get his fundamentals down. And obviously there's going to be incredible expectations, but he'll grow into that.
We've got to hit the break here, Coach. So appreciate your time. But if for Bronny, is it the Lakers at 55,
thanks,
you think?
I think so. Yeah, okay. I don't know why they wouldn't.
All right. Great stuff, as always. Enjoy the coverage. Again, Tom Crean,
thanks,
everybody.
Coach. Make good luck tonight.
Yeah, make sure you check out all of their coverage tonight on SiriusXM NBA Radio.
Close your eyes when the 16th pick goes in.